Welcome to Radio Tambua, an outreach of ACFA, the Africa Center for Apologetics Research. ACFA equips God's people for the defense of the faith, biblical discernment, and cult evangelism. Let's begin today's message. Sovereign Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather before you, to hear from you, to learn from your word, to have you revealed to us, and more importantly, to know the truth that sets us free. How we pray that as we open your word, that you will indeed speak to us. Give us a discerning heart and mind. Give us the courage to believe what the Bible teaches and to follow through with it, that we may be Christians who provide examples in word and deed to the glory of your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The passage we have just read opens in a very interesting yet very scaring way. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul begins by saying, "I am afraid, I am concerned, I am astonished that you are about to be deceived." Those words become extremely timely and relevant for us, especially as we hear what is going on in the world around us today. I am sure most of you have been following news in Kenya, and you have heard about this tragedy that has come to be termed as the Shakahola Forest Massacre, a cultic incident, a group led by a man called Paul Mackenzie of Good News International, who took people in the name of faith and of God into the Shakahola Forest, led them into fasting that would lead to death. As we speak, about 2 weeks ago, they were counting about 472 people dead and still counting, because they are still discovering mass graves in the over 800-acre forest in Kilifi County in Kenya. Now, these people were not dead because they were bad people. In fact, they may have died because they really wanted to be very good people. They died because they trusted and believed in a man who claimed to be God's messenger for the day, but actually led them to their very death. You may also know that this is not the only incident we know where religious groups or churches have harmed people in a variety of ways. In 1978, we had a famous cult tragedy in Johnstown in Guyana, where about 918 people died, again, in the name of faith. Most of you who may be older, you know that Uganda has not been spared either. 23 years ago, March, on the 17th of March, over 500 people were burnt in a fire in Kanungu in southwestern Uganda. Why? Because they believed a leadership that claimed to be listening from God, that claimed to have the truth, but led them not just into error, but to their very destruction. It wasn't just the 500 who died in a fire. Many more others were discovered to have died in mysterious ways, buried in different mass graves, bringing the total to almost 1,000 people dead. Now, I am not saying every religious group will necessarily kill you or lead you to death. There are degrees in which you can be harmed by false religious movements. We have so many who may not necessarily kill you, but may steal your tuition, may take your car if you are lucky and you have one. Some people have lost their marriage partners because of a prophecy or a revelation through a man of God. There are so many ways in which we can be harmed by these religious groups, which is really why we need to think about them. If you think closely about the three groups I have mentioned so far, there were a number of things that held them together that we need to understand. Number one was an accountable leadership. Men and women who rise up claiming to be God's special messengers, anointed and in a special category above and beyond the rest of the Christians. In other words, they are saying, touch not God's anointed, otherwise you will die young. I know what God is saying. In fact, I have recent, fresh revelation from above. So new that you don't even need an ancient Bible. Put it down, listen to me, and I will tell you God's will for your life. Not long ago, we had a prophet in Uganda who was even claiming to be having breakfast with Jesus every Saturday morning. Now, someone who has breakfast with Jesus, surely how can you question whatever it is he is going to tell you? He has been there. He has first-hand evidence. And so what do? You put down the ancient scriptures. You listen to the man of God. These men were held to different standards. They had different privileges. They could not be questioned or contradicted. They manipulated their followers either through fear of the present world or fear that the world is coming to an end and they are the only ones who know how to take you to heaven, or through tough discipline and regulations that they would put upon their members. If you listen to all the leaders of these three movements, chances are that in their teachings there was very little talk about who Jesus is and what he has done. While their teachings and behaviors looked almost Christian, they actually never were. Most likely, they were criticizing all the other churches as being wrong, and theirs is the one and only true church. The only voice from God. You want to go to heaven? Listen to me. You want to get saved? Come to my church. Outside my church, there is no salvation. Some of these leaders and their churches, you will find that they had two faces, if I can say it so. There were things they told the insiders, the members, and there are things that they told the outsiders. The people watching from a distance saw a wonderful church, charismatic worship, powerful prayers, 5-kilogram Bibles on the pulpit, but what they don't know is that the insiders had a different picture. The outsiders were promised paradise. The outsiders were given what I would call love bombing. You know, someone loves you more than your own mother, and you begin to say, wow, what took you so long to arrive? But the people inside lived in great, great fear. I call this the philosophy of the taxi. Now, I believe most of you have used taxis here in Uganda. When a taxi is coming to a stage where you are standing, what is the conductor going to say? First of all, big smile. He's going to call you all sorts of titles you can ever think about. Jangu mama, pastor, musumba, hajati, doctor. They will call you all sorts of titles and encourage you to get into the taxi. But the moment you get in, you cease to matter. The conductor's eyes remain outside looking for more passengers. They could stop in the middle of the road to put in a passenger. But if you are not careful, they will go beyond your stage. Even when you ask them to stop, they won't stop. You are only important if you are out. Should you reach your stage and you are lacking 500 shillings on your transport money, the way the conductor will abuse you, you can't believe he's the same man who welcomed you inside. Most of these charismatic leaders of these cultic groups are saints outwardly. Great communicators. Sometimes even good comedians, and I know many of us love some entertainment. They will give you every reason to want to be part of the group. But what you don't know is that what you see from out is not what is within. Slowly but surely, by the time your eyes open, it is too late to jump out. Paul began telling the Corinthians believers that I am afraid you are about to be deceived just as Eve was deceived by the serpent. And how was Eve deceived by the serpent? Surely Satan didn't come in and just introduce himself. I am the man who disobeyed God. In fact, I am going to hell. Is anybody here willing to join me? Had Satan said that, Eve would have run away screaming, Adam, come and help, there is a snake. But no, the serpent came gently as an innocent inquirer. Did God really say, Eve, are you sure? What if? Are you sure you understood what God said, what God meant, and how you are supposed to apply it? Eve is beginning to say, wait a minute, by the way, did God say? Did God mean this? But Satan is not done. Says, surely you will not die. Come on. There is no way God could kill a beautiful young woman like you. Why would he waste time creating a Miss Uganda and then all of a sudden kill you because you ate a fruit? Come on. God is not that unserious. In fact, let me tell you. Instead of dying, do you know when you eat of the fruit, what will become of you? You will be like God. Eve, did you hear me? You will be like God. What do you say about that? You will be able to know the difference between good and evil. And Eve is thinking, so you are saying that God made me as a creature, but if I eat the fruit, I become like the creator. Satan, you might be having some revelation. And then we hear, when Eve saw the fruit was pleasing to the eyes, good for food, she took it, she ate it, she gave Adam, and like they say, the rest is history. Paul takes us all the way back to Genesis, reminds us the subtle ways in which deception works, through doubt, through distortion, through denial, and eventually to destruction. And then he tells these Corinthian believers, I am afraid what happened in the Garden of Eden is about to happen to you. Why? Because you have bought into some heretic teachings, false teachings. Teachings that deviate from the essentials of the Christian faith in ways that are destructive. In verse 4, he talks about the kind of teachings they have bought into. He says, if anyone comes to you and preaches another Jesus from the one we preached to you, or a different gospel from the one we preached to you, oh, a different spirit from the one you received. You Corinthians easily put up with such men. And in other words, Paul is saying, you have one very big problem. And that problem is lack of discernment. A failure to tell the difference between truth and error. A failure to differentiate what is right from what is wrong, but also from what is almost right. These false teachers have come to the church at Corinth. They do not deny Jesus. They do not dispute the teachings of the Bible. They do not claim to be having an alternative savior. No. They come with the same Christian words, same Christian terminology, same vocabulary, but with a different dictionary. Paul says another Jesus. A different gospel. It is still gospel, but a different one. They are still under the influence of a spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. And because they come in the name of Jesus, they preach the so-called gospel. They claim to have the power and influence of the Spirit. The Corinthian brothers, listening to Christian or biblical terminology being employed in the teachings, could not discern that they were under deception. And that's why Paul is saying, I am afraid. I am concerned. There are a number of ways today in which false teachers directly or indirectly are infiltrating our churches and congregations with deception. And unless as Christians we learn to be discerning, we too can be deceived. And we are already seeing it happening among us and all around us. What are some of those ways? One great theologian and scholar has outlined at least what he calls six categories of heresies, of false teachings that are so not only divisive but destructive, and he outlines them this way. Number one, he talks about the aspect of revelation. Every religion has a foundation upon which their system of beliefs and behaviors is established. And for us as Christians, Christianity is established on the Bible, revelation that God has given us from His Word. Now, most false teachers, especially those who claim to be Christian, will not necessarily deny the Bible, but they will promote teachings that distort, deviate, or add to Scripture in a way that leads people to destruction. They may have the Bible in one hand plus the pastor's book. Our pastor recently released a book. It has some powerful insights and secrets of heaven. In fact, if you really want to know what heaven is, read our pastor's book. And the book is promoted above and beyond the Bible. It is still on the pulpit, but it is rarely read or rarely studied. What instead is focused on is the pastor's book. Some of these false teachers now have their own Bible translations. Translations that may have distorted teachings about who God is or who Jesus is or how salvation works. They are still called the Holy Bible, but they are not faithfully translated. And in fact, if followed, some of their teachings can harm you in so many ways. Some of these people will not promote another Bible or the book by the pastor, but they may claim what we call extra-biblical revelation. Revelation above and beyond the Bible. And if you listen very carefully to the preachers of our day, whether on radio or on TV or in our churches, they seem to claim, whether it is apostolic or prophetic authority that is not established on the teaching of the Bible, but finds its source in dreams, in visions, and in special revelations or prophecies. I am a pastor because the Lord called me at around 3:15 a.m. when I was on the prayer mountain in prayer. And when the Lord spoke to me, He told me all the churches on earth were wrong. So I am the one who is going to build the one true church that restores the truth that is missing in Christianity. What is he saying? Every religion or denomination you are in is in error. The only way you get saved is to come into mine. The only way you hear from God is to listen to me. He becomes the mediator between God and his followers. You want to reach God? You come through him. You want blessings? He has the password. And if you are not careful, you could be cursed. And above all, remember that he is the anointed one of God. And what does the Bible say? Touch not God's anointed. Do no harm to his prophets. He may even quote for you a passage from the Old Testament where some young boys insulted the prophet Elisha, and a bear came and mauled all of them. Say, do you see what happened to those boys who said Elisha had a bald head? Now, if they could die because of saying the prophet had a bald head, what is going to happen to you when you accuse or contradict the man of God? And you will see people, I am sorry, pastor. So what can I do to make things right? And if he says, bring the car, you hand over the keys. Extra biblical revelation, which in most cases is contradicting to what the Bible is actually saying. Today you will meet people who are saying, you see, me, I'm the prophet of this generation, and the Lord has given me a message for our time. If you read the Bible, you are reading other things, but if you listen to me, you are listening to the message of the day. And when you listen to the message he's giving, in most cases it contradicts what God has already told us in Scripture. Some of these people will promote false ideas of who God is. They may promote the worship of many gods beyond the one true God. But often, and the way which is even more subtle, is that they may promote idolatrous distortions of the one true God. Yes, we believe in one God, as Christianity teaches, but this God may be having a wife. This God could have been a man one day and then he was promoted to godhood. This God could be one who is not triune. They deny the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Theirs is a God who cannot be three persons in one God. And once you move away from the foundation of the Trinity, you have really moved away from the offer of salvation. But not only that, they may promote a Jesus who is still Jesus by name, but not the Jesus of the Bible. Either they will deny his lordship, or they will deny his humanity and claim he was a spirit, or some will even deny his true identity. I have heard some pastor in town, very popular guy, and recently he was teaching, saying that, you see, Jesus and Christ were two different people. Jesus was human and earthly, and we have his history in the New Testament. His father was a carpenter, his mother was a potter, and he grew up in Nazareth. And then he says, Christ is the heavenly man. He came to Jesus at his baptism, and shortly before Jesus was crucified, the Christ left him. I'm thinking, okay. So Jesus is not the Christ. And Christ did not die for us. It was only the human one who died on the cross, the Jesus the man. And that leaves you wondering, so if Jesus the man is the one who died, how does our salvation become possible? Because Christianity does not teach that any man can die for another. Absolutely no. You have some of those teachers who will promote distorted versions of how to be saved. Either they will teach what we call legalism, where they teach that you are saved by your own self-effort. The things you do, the way you do them, will determine whether God is happy with you or not. Or you will have another extreme one who will teach and say, yes, we are saved by grace, and because grace is sufficient for your salvation, now you can do anything you want. After all, the grace is sufficient. Jesus, who forgave you yesterday, will forgive you again today. So don't worry about the sins you commit. Just call the grace. Some will say, you see, Jesus already died for us. We are saved for all eternity. So since he already paid for our sins yesterday and today and tomorrow, why are you worried about sinning? Because the sin you are about to commit, Jesus has already paid for it. So what are they saying? Do whatever you want to do. There is no accountability. And even when you have sinned, by the way, don't bother repenting or confessing your sins. They are already covered. Jesus paid in advance, even for the sins you are going to commit in the future. And frankly, we do not find any kind of teaching like that in the scriptures. In fact, believers who understand the price that Christ has paid for their salvation no longer want to live for their fleshly desires and appetites, but want to lay down their lives for the good and glory of Christ. That's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for them all, so that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died and rose again. He writes to Titus in chapter 2 from verses 11. He says that for the grace of God which brings salvation to all men has been revealed. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, no to unrighteousness, and to live righteously and soberly as we wait for the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace is not a license for sin. If at all, grace is the reason we no longer want to sin, because we appreciate what Christ has done for us. Anyone teaching that you can be saved apart from Christ by your own good works is a false teacher. Anyone who teaches you to take for granted the grace of God is a false teacher. Legalist or one who is licentious, both do not promote the cause of our Master and Savior Jesus Christ. But some of these false teachers will bring distortions at what we understand to be the church. They will promote deliberate attempts to lead people away from the church to some loose, non-accountable gathering or fellowship. You may realize that in our day, we seem to be having a growing number of fellowships and not churches. Fellowships without an address, fellowships with no identity, fellowships that are not registered, fellowships that have no team leadership, fellowship where the man of God is autocratic, he is the Alpha and the Omega. When he speaks, God has spoken. They are moving away people from the establishment of the traditional understanding of church. Moving away people from the fellowship of the brothers in which true biblical discipleship takes place. And what you have now is crowds of people connected to a charismatic leader at the front who may never even know who they are, who may never even understand their problems and their needs, but the man who is respected and listened to without any questioning. Move away from the church. Come to my fellowship, because in me and through me, you will unlock the mysteries and the successes of heaven. But we have had also false teachers, number six, who distort the biblical teaching about the future. They may give false predictions for which they claim divine authority. Some of them may even claim that Christ has already returned. Some of them, through these predictions, may claim they are the last messengers whose ministry is ushering in the return of Christ. I am the final, the last, the greatest prophet there is. And if you want to be prepared for the return of Christ, listen to me. They move people away from their Savior Jesus to the so-called man of God. From the Bible, the Word of God, to the revelations, or to the books and magazines written by the pastor. From the one true God to false distortions of who he really is. From Jesus the Savior to something else that looks like, sounds like, but is really not the Jesus of the Bible. You can understand Paul's concern. I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent, you too, are about to be led astray. Another gospel, Jesus, a different gospel, a different spirit. In verses 13 to 15, he talks about the false apostles who propagate such heresies. And he says, while they masquerade as servants of righteousness, they are actually false apostles. He goes further and he says that, but we should not be surprised. The devil himself masquerades or presents himself as an angel of light. And Paul says, it is not a wonder when his ministers, these false teachers and apostles, do the same, pretend to be servants of righteousness, when actually they are false teachers that lead you to your destruction, that emotionally drain you, that divide you from the fellowship of the brothers, that seek to destroy you, whether spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and so on and so forth. So what do we do, brothers and sisters? As Christians, we have a great responsibility. This is an opportunity for us to reflect and really try to understand what true biblical Christianity really is, that we may not be deceived. We may need to ask some very serious and important questions that help us understand whether we really stand in the truth today or we are about to be deceived like the Corinthian brothers. How do we protect ourselves, our families, our churches from the danger and the harm that is caused by these rogue preachers and churches? How do we know what is really true from what is not? How do we differentiate what is right from what is almost right but really not right? Well, I want to draw you first and foremost to the Word of God, because the Scripture is God's revelation through which we understand who He is and what He has done. That believers who are growing in the truth of the scriptures will likely discern the difference between truth and error and have the boldness to defend their faith. We need to examine the scriptures to see the various warnings that both the Old Testament and the New present to us about deception, so that we are aware of what it is, we know how it infiltrates our ranks, our churches, our fellowships, but even more importantly, we may know how to answer it. The New Testament, all books of the New Testament, with the exception of one, calls believers to exercise biblical discernment in the face of false teachings. It calls us to test whether the people we are listening to are true apostles or prophets or pastors or teachers, and not to just believe them because they said so. That as believers, we must be on the lookout. We must be keen to examine everything we hear to be sure that it is really coming from God. And finally, not necessarily that I was done, but because of time, I want to point you to Christ as the only sufficient and supreme Savior there is. That when Jesus saves, he saves fully and finally, and any addition to the work of Jesus is an insult and leads to false teaching. Paul tells us in Colossians 2 about who Jesus is and how believers find freedom in Christ, how believers find fullness in Christ, how believers find fellowship in Christ. When people try to add to Christ and to the work that he has done, soon or later they are moved away from the simplicity in Christ, from the finality of revelation in Christ, to falsehood and false teaching. And that's why when the Apostle Peter is concluding his second letter, in chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "You therefore, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard that you are not carried away by their error." Knowing this beforehand, be on your guard that you are not carried away by their error. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to hear your word. We really are grateful that you have spoken to us and your word is truth and truth sets free. How we pray that you would make UCU a community of discipled and discerning men and women who are able to defend their faith in the face of the great deception that surrounds us today. My prayer, dear Lord, is that they will have a hunger for your word, that through reading and studying keenly your word, they will discover Christ, who is sufficient, who is central, who is supreme, that in him they will find fellowship, fullness, and freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Learn more about the Africa Center for Apologetics Research, visit us at africanapologetics.org.